Well, this weekend is the Chicago premiere of the new film Those Left Behind by award-winning filmmaker Maria Finizzo. The movie's about the beginning after the end. It's a story of a family dealing with the grief and guilt of a suicide, reliving those memories and forging new and old relationships, with the painful reminder lurking in the memories and shadows in everyday life. It's a powerful story told by a powerful filmmaker. Maria Finizzo has 2 Peabody Awards, plus several other awards for her works and documentaries. She's taken on subjects like stem cell research, nuclear war, and the psychology of adolescent girls. Great piece here in Chicago. She has been a tremendous presence in the Chicago documentary scene, working for Curtis Productions, Kartemquin, and others. This film is her first foray into feature-length film, but the fictional story in this film is one that resonates clearly, especially as September is Suicide Prevention Month. Finizzo will be at the Siskel Center for a Q&A after the screening on Saturday, but she's here on The Download tonight. Maria Finizzo, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
Amazing film, very depressing film, but in a way that it was just so brilliant. I mean, I'm amazed at the for somebody who spent their life in documentaries, how much there was an attention to detail to the actual shooting of this film. It's beautiful.
The film is beautifully shot, and that's really to the credit of the cinematographer Raquel Fernandez, and she's a Spanish woman, and I interviewed her on Skype and looked at her work and really, really loved her work. And she just brought a spectacular eye to the film, and she also was so knowledgeable. She had this great crew of guys who recognized how smart and talented she was, and they just worked the tails off for her. And most of the film is shot with natural light.
It's really amazing. And why don't we start with where this comes from? For you, you've had a background in documentaries. Why treat a story about suicide through a feature-length film, a fictional film, as opposed to a documentary?
Well, actually, the film began many, many years ago as a documentary film. And I was working on a film about suicide and doing a lot of interviews of family members who'd lost someone to suicide, so survivors, they call them, and even interviewed people who had tried to take their own life and hadn't. And the project never was completed because the funders felt it was much too sad of a film, and so they decided not to go forward with the project. But I had, in my memory, very moving stories from families who had gone through what is a very painful loss, and I could never let them go. And when I knew I wanted to make a fiction film, I had written a screenplay that was a little bit different but dealt with a family dealing with a tragedy. Mm-hmm. It was the death of their son in an accident. And the project had to be a much smaller project in terms of budget. And so I went back to writing the script, and it just the memory of those conversations I'd had with people came back to me, and I thought, okay, I'm going to make a film. I'm going to finally make that film, which I was trying to make many years ago, and it's and I'll do it as a fiction film.
Yeah, it's such a strong story, the story of a family years later after a suicide of a it's really told through the voice of one of the siblings, but this family gets together and it just never goes away. I mean, the story is really one about how they need to come to terms with what happened, and each character does it in a different way, but it's just there.
Mm-hmm. Well, I always sort of say it's a ghost story, right?
Yeah.
It's and the ghost is unresolved grief, right? And so in the beginning, when Shelley as a older woman arrives at the home, she stirs up the ghost, right? And so then it comes out of the water, and everywhere she looks, there he is. And I really like the notion of revisiting the past, because the past resonates in our present life all the time. And a really great storytelling tool is to go back to the past and look at the ghosts that lurk there and see how they are rippling in everyday life today, because they do in all of our lives.
Yeah, right. And also the relationships in the film between the father and the daughter and the mother and the father. I mean, everything about it really is defined around this tragedy that happened a long time ago in these people's lives.
Right. And what happens when you don't talk about it and process it, right? And so one person thinks it's their fault, the other thinks it's theirs, but together they can't stand to even look at each other, because they can just, what joins them at this point is just pain, right?
For you, I mean, obviously working in documentaries, I mean, and I want to ask you about this. We take a quick break here, and then why don't we do that? We'll take a break. Maria Finizzo in studio with me. She's the writer and director of the feature-length film Those Left Behind. It's going to be at the Siskel Center on Saturday. She'll be there for the Q&A. But what I really want to get at right after the break is just this: the idea of being able to make a transition from doing documentaries to feature film. I mean, that is obviously, there's a lot that is similar, but there's probably a lot that's not. So we'll talk with Maria more about that process when we return. Stay with us. It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Maria Finizzo in studio, the award-winning filmmaker. Made so many documentaries here in Chicago and all over the country. But also, her latest is a feature film, a fictional story, Those Left Behind, which deals with suicide. And it's, as you said, a ghost story, really about the unresolved relationships and angst around this tragedy that happened much, you know, years before, and how it affects the family. It's a very, very, very good film that is going to be at the Siskel Center on Saturday night, where you will be doing a Q&A with the film. All right, let's talk about your career. You know, you have been such a mainstay here in Chicago. You've done so many different things. How did you get into documentaries? What was it that you gravitated towards?
Well, I wanted to be a filmmaker the first time I sat in a dark movie theater when I was 4 years old, right? I mean, how many times did I see Lawrence of Arabia? 39 or something, I don't know. And I got out of college with a degree in film. And back when I got out of college, there were no internships or anything like that. And I got out of college thinking that someone would pay me to talk about French cinema. But they didn't. And so I had to figure out how to make my way in the film world. And I loved storytelling. And I knew I wanted to be a documentary filmmaker. And so, but you don't just start out that. You can't just announce you're going to be a documentary filmmaker. You have to figure out how you're going to earn a living. And so I worked in the commercial and commercials, because there's a lot done and you can actually find a job on a commercial and work your way up.
So production, yeah.
Mm-hmm, production. And I learned a lot about production through commercials. But I always knew I wanted to tell stories, and so I kept trying to make my way towards longer things, right? And I ended up being very, very lucky at some point in being able to work for Bill Curtis on his new Explorer series, which was a great, just a wonderful experience for everybody who worked on it. And I learned a lot working on the new Explorers. But I had known about Kartemquin Films for years, right? Known about their films, admired Gordon Quinn and Jerry Blumenthal and the work they did. And so I knew I had to be there. And like a lot of filmmakers, I had kind of a film in my back pocket that I wanted to make, right? The dream film. And that film was Five Girls. And it was a coming-of-age story about adolescent girls. Right. And so I, you know, showed up on the door of Kartemquin Films with nothing but, you know, the dream to make this film. And what is great about Kartemquin Films is that that's what you need. You need a dream to make a film, and they'll help you do it.
And Kartemquin, you know, and Gordon's been on the show, and you know, Steve James is a big filmmaker here in town. Hoop Dreams, the documentaries. I mean, all of the documentaries worth anything have come out of Kartemquin Films here in Chicago.
We are, you know, you mentioned Steve, and there's a lot of filmmakers there. We're all better filmmakers because of Gordon and Jerry. I mean, when I came, Steve and Peter Gilbert were working on Hoop Dreams, right? They were in, I don't know, year three or year four. And so what was great about Kartemquin is that they were going to help me make the film I wanted to make. And so documentary filmmaking, or funding of documentary films, was very different back then than it is now. And I was able, with Gordon and Jerry on as my executive producers, to get a grant from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting for $300,000 off a paper proposal. That's unheard of today, right?
You just submitted a proposal, and they
said,
yep,
ding. I submitted a proposal in several revisions. This took a long time, but they eventually did give me the money, and that was great. So I could get started and get going, right? And so that was the first film I did with Kartemquin, and it was a wonderful experience in learning how to make a long-form verite film.
You mentioned, you know, the idea that this was your dream film, Five Girls. I mean, that is talk about where you come up with your ideas for documentaries? Because you've had a wide ranging, when you think of the stuff that you've actually accomplished and won awards for. Mm-hmm. It's everything from stem cell research to, like you talked about, the adolescent girls, the soccer mm-hmm. team, the nuclear war, nuclear weapons.
Well, I had gotten married and had a daughter. And at one point, I think she was 5 or maybe 7, we were wandering through what was then Blockbusters, right? They're gone now. And she said to me, "Where are all the films about girls?" And I thought, oh.
There's got to be a section here somewhere.
Somewhere there has to be films about girls, right? Only there really weren't very many. And so the films about girls were films about the way girls failed, or the terrible things that happened to girls, or all the the bad girls, or the whatever. And I wanted to make a film that looked at the way girls succeeded, because there are lots of strong women around, and they don't come out of nowhere, right? So they were strong girls at some point. And so that's how Five Girls came about. It came about as looking at the way girls are resilient. Right, so it doesn't mean that you don't have trouble in your life, so bad things don't happen to you, but it's the quality of resilience that allows you to bounce back. And so taking that kind of a lens on the lives of five young women for 2 years was a really wonderful way of looking at adolescence, because while a lot of things were going to happen to them, I didn't have to look at them as failures. I could look at them as succeeding. And that, I think, was a very empowering film for me to make, and also for young girls to see, because mm-hmm. for the first time in a long time, they saw their stories on the screen.
And what goes into making a documentary like Five Girls? I mean, you have to follow five girls. I mean, that's not something that you do for 2 weeks at a time. It's much different than feature films, where it's like, we got mm-hmm. 11 days to shoot this. It takes years. It
took me 2 years to shoot, and I shot five girls for 2 years, and I shot their families, and I shot them in the morning when they woke up before they went to school, and I caught arguments with their parents, and when they went to prom, and when they graduated, and when they went off to college. And so it was really, I became very close with all these young women. I'm still close to some of them. And what the hardest part then was taking 3 hours of footage, 300 hours of footage, sorry. And, cutting it into a two-hour film.
Yeah.
Right. So, and David Simpson did a really great job doing that. So, and I think that's where I learned, or I began to learn really the structure of narrative filmmaking, right, is how you make a story, right, with narrative arcs and characters and climaxes and emotional moments, which is why transferring to fiction film was not so difficult for me, right? First of all, I wrote it. I can write. And so all those years of working in documentary gave me a really solid sense of narrative storytelling. And so I was able to make that transition, not easily, but certainly I was ready for it.
Well, we'll continue the conversation here. Maria Finizzo in studio with me. She's the Peabody Award-winning filmmaker, documentary filmmaker, but now feature filmmaker with the film Those Left Behind. It'll be at the Siskel Center on Saturday night. She'll be there for a Q&A. Let's take a quick break and an update for tonight's news. When we come back, I want to talk about, you kind of just mentioned about the landscape of documentary filmmaking changing. You know, it's a lot different than it was when you started. And I always think, and I know Pete and I have talked about this, Gordon was in here talking about this, is almost the mecca of documentary filmmaking in this country. It comes out of Chicago. I mean, for years. But how has it changed? How difficult is it to be able to produce these things? Or has it gotten easier with the advent of streaming services and other places for documentaries? Maria Finizzo, my guest tonight here on The Download. Stay with us. Thank you, Mr. Martyr. Justin Kaufman here. It's a download on 720 WGN Radio. We are talking with Maria Finizzo. She's a great filmmaker here in town, Peabody Award winner. I throw that around. I mean, you can say award winning, but Peabody Award, that's great. That's huge.
Thank you.
That's for like politicians and Ira Glass, right?
I guess. I think he's won several. Yeah.
Well, let's talk. I mean, you have made, we were talking right before the news just about your life in documentaries and the feature film that you just put out, which is going to be at the Siskel Center on Saturday, is called Those Left Behind. You'll be there for the Q&A. You know, making that transition to do that. I mean, yes, it's probably similar in the way that you're a writer and you're a filmmaker, you know it, but they're extremely different behind the scenes. I mean, they are a documentary. You're going to have so much more looseness to trying to find the moment. Whereas in a feature film, you wrote the moment. This is where you have to get it. So talk about being a director and a writer and the differences behind the camera.
So I think one of the most important things about directing a fiction film is when you, as the director, step on the set, you have 45 people all waiting for you to tell them what you want. And so it's really a leadership position. And it's very important for the director to know what they want and what they're hoping to get. Because if they don't, then the actors get nervous and the crew gets nervous because there's a vacuum, right? So I was really, really prepared. And I think
you knew this going in.
I knew this going in. And I knew that, you know, one of the worst things you can do is come in and have like no vision, right? Because then everybody's nervous. But I think because my entire life I've loved to tell people what to do. That's sort of bossy. So it was a really natural extension of my bossiness, right? And I can actually be bossy on the set because it was my show. And one of the things I also think helps me is that when you're a director on a fiction film, it's really important that you connect with your actors and the crew. And you have to have a relationship with the actors because they're, in a sense, trusting you with their careers, right?
Right.
And so I have a good rapport with people, and I make them feel comfortable. And I could sit and talk to them about the characters. And so that was something that I think I learned also over time as a documentary filmmaker, because the kind of films I made at Kartemquin Films and make require that the people in the films trust me.
Yeah, that's. I was going to ask you about that, about how you've evolved as a filmmaker, as a documentary filmmaker specifically. I mean, from the early days of doing Five Girls to the next project, what have you learned about being a more efficient, prolific documentarian?
Well, documentaries, I've learned to be patient because sometimes you go out and you start filming and you're not really sure what the story is. And that makes you nervous.
I was going to say, is that scary?
It's a little scary. You think, gee, I don't really have a story here. But if you're patient and you allow the story to evolve, what happens is there's always a story. And the film I made, In the Game, which is also going to be at the Cultural Center on this Saturday, there's a free screening that WTTW is sponsoring.
That's the soccer.
Right, the soccer one. That started out a very different film. And I thought I was making a film about Title IX, and I thought it was going to be this, that, or the other thing. And actually, as the film evolved over a six-year period, it turned out to be a film about equality and the playing field, which is not level, and how education is supposed to level the playing field, but it doesn't really do
that. And that's
that.
Not necessarily what you set out to do when you
started.
No,
not at all. I thought I was coming to Kelley High School to make a film about how girls of color are the left behinds of the sports movement. That's what they're called, they're coined, and that the boys at Kelley would have everything they needed and the girls would have nothing. And that's the sort of preconceived notion I brought to the film I'm going down to Kelley High School, this is the film I'm going to make. That wasn't what I found at all. What I found instead was a public institution, Kelley High School, that was committed to educating a population of kids that are normally ignored or thrown away, right? This is kids at the poverty level. We can't educate these kids. Can't happen. That was not what I found at Kelley High School. And what I also found there was a soccer coach who was immensely dedicated to the young women, girls who were on the soccer team, not because they were going to be star soccer players, but because he knew that soccer was a way of keeping them engaged with life. Right? If they had to show up for practice, if they had to keep their grades up,
right,
they would do better. And it wasn't as if the boys had everything and the girls had nothing. In fact, the kids at Kelley High School, no one had anything. They didn't even have a field to play on, right? So that was a very different story, right? And so,
and there has to be something, you know, as you as a filmmaker, and this probably comes with experience, but the concept of being able to let go what your preconceived notion is. But if you're going to come in with a mission statement for a film and it wasn't happening, you can go one or two ways. You can try to force it to happen, mm-hmm, or you can let it go.
Well, forcing it to happen is always a bad idea. and so what I remember Gordon Quinn has said it many times, we don't really know what's going to happen in our story. And because you don't, because we're Verite filmmakers, and so we're following a story as it unfolds over time. And I could never have imagined the things that happened in the game were going to happen, right? I didn't know they would eventually get a field, which they do by the end of the film. After 6 years of filming, they get a field. You know, I had no idea Maria, one of the characters, would get married and that they would all, Elizabeth would finally get back in school. I mean, none of those things are what you can predict. And so if you just allow a story to unfold, it's always better than anything you would
And it's finding those moments, those special moments. For you as a filmmaker who's making a transition to feature film to fiction work, are you able to find the same moments in a written script? I mean, how do the moments materialize? Is it great acting? Is it a shot you didn't think about? What is it about finding the moment in a scripted fiction film as opposed to a documentary?
Well, in a scripted film, what you're doing is you're finding sort of those wonderful moments in great performances, like your actors really get in touch with the emotion of a scene, or they become very quiet and they act with each other and they really connect with whoever they're acting with. And then there's the, you know, what happens in a fiction film is everything comes together, right? The sound design and the music and the cinematography. And you have this wonderful collaborative piece of art, which at the end comes together because of a lot of different people. And it's very funny when you are making a fiction film, every day you watch dailies. And I say, and it's true, you're watching the worst version of your film. And you're like, this is so terrible.
I've heard that.
It's bad. It's horrifying, right? I mean, it's horrifying. And then little by little, it gets better and better, and then it all comes together in a wonderfully collaborative piece.
We're talking with award-winning filmmaker Maria Finizzo in studio here. You know, and I teased it right before the news, just this idea of you know, Chicago being really a home for documentary film. This is the Mecca, if you will, for this country. So many great filmmakers are here and continue to work here, and Kartem Quinn and Bill Curtis Productions for so many years. And the idea of this really being a place where documentary film can thrive. Why do you think that is? Why do you think that Chicago is a place that documentary films have come?
Well, I think that Kartem Quinn Films plays a huge role in that. First of all, they've been here for 50 years, and that in of itself is an enormous accomplishment, right? And it was and is a place where you as an independent filmmaker can walk through the doors and make the film that you want to make. So there's no one telling you, well, it has to be this way or that way.
Right.
There's just a group of people who are very supportive who are helping you grow as a filmmaker. And that's a wonderful... That's just a very unique kind of place. And so I think Kartem Quinn has played a major role in that. And then, you know, we've had really fine filmmakers. Steve James is an extraordinary filmmaker, and he has, you know, his stature is, you know, nationwide, as is Gordon Quinn's. And so, you know, there are other fine filmmakers. Bob Hercules has a beautiful film about Maya Angelou that's also going to be at the Gene Siskel. So, you know, we're from the Midwest, and we just are good, solid filmmakers, right? And I think that's what's happened.
Do you feel as a filmmaker there's more opportunity, that it's getting easier to make or to distribute documentary films because of the way that it's kind of broken apart in Hollywood, where there's a lot of different places, or is it harder?
Well, it's actually... it might be easier to make a film because you can get you can make your film with your iPhone.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
It's very hard to get an independent documentary film funded, financed. There are more people going for the same small pool of money, and the kind of films that are made more and more feel like fiction films. So they have a lot of elements that fiction films have. They're highly produced. Right?
Documentaries, right?
Yeah, and so they're competitive. Okay, and they cost a lot of money. A documentary film would cost $1 million, okay? And so getting that kind of money to make your film takes a lot, and usually it takes, and this happens with a lot of filmmakers, they have to take their own money to get it off the ground. Okay. And they have to work for a long time before any of the money comes in. Right? That's not unusual for filmmakers to work 2 or 3 years without paying themselves. So in that sense, it's not good.
That's okay? not good. Right.
It's not good at all, because this is a career profession and people are working for free. On the back end, distribution in some respects is easier because you can put your own film up on YouTube if you want. But because funding is so difficult, filmmakers look for a good broadcast license to help with the funding, right?
That's,
to help
pay up, right? That's where TTW comes in.
WTTW, kind of places, POV, Independent Lens,
right.
HBO, Showtime. So that's a really important element for getting your film finished, because you need that money. And those spots are very competitive, right?
Has the fund, I mean, you say that more people are trying to get to that money that is traditionally funded, documentaries. Is that pool shrinking? The money? Is the money part shrinking? Are less people funding projects?
I would
like
say
this?
Less people are funding. And also, you have to do a lot of work to get $15,000, right? Well, if your film costs $1 million, that's not going to go very far. And the work you've had to do to write the grant to get the $15,000, you're not being paid for, right? So there's a lot of work to get work.
Right.
And that's unfortunate, because what it does is it narrows the pool of people who can make films. And narrowing that pool means that you're losing people who don't have access to money to get their film off the ground.
And that's what Hollywood is all about,
right?
Who has access to the money.
Right, right.
Right?
And that shouldn't be in documentary filmmaking. Right?
Maria Finito, a great filmmaker, documentary filmmaker here in town. She's also now a feature filmmaker. Her new film, Those Left Behind, a story of a family dealing with grief and guilt of a suicide that happened in the family years before. She's going to be at the Siskel Center for the screening, which is Saturday night, this Saturday night, the Siskel Center right here on State Street. She'll be there for the Q&A. After the screening, and you can find the movie, Those Left Behind. Is it going to be distributed in any,
We do have a distributor. I don't know when and that's
right,
going to happen.
Okay.
But there are tickets left, so please go out and see the
film.
There
you go. Maria Finito, it's a pleasure to have you here. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you very much for having me.